We're taking a brief one-week break from the Beatitudes before we return to finish those next week and the week after to celebrate the day of Pentecost in the life of our church. The scripture reading from Pentecost comes from Acts chapter 2, a story we read just about every year that we return to today. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all those who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Now this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, and in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. We say thanks be to God. In the past few years, those home DNA testing kits have become extremely popular, like 23andMe or Ancestry. I don't know if any of you have done them and found out what percentage of your DNA comes from different parts of the world. I have not done one of these DNA tests. I did something better. I convinced my sister to do one, and then I just assumed that our DNA was close enough and just took her results for myself. It saved me time and $99, and I still got to learn things. Now, most of our results were not too surprising. We learned that we are about 3/4 English and German, which we pretty much knew. We learned that we are about 1/4 Eastern European, which we knew had come from my grandma. But the most exciting thing that we learned was that we were 0.01% Indigenous Australian. We have no idea where this could come from, and they tell you that if it's that low, it's probably just some sort of mistake. But I have chosen to believe that this is why I like to watch Australian TV shows on Netflix about kids at the Australian Dance Academy, even though I know that it explains nothing. And now that more people in my extended family have done these DNA tests, they tend to become a topic of conversation at family gatherings as we discuss different results and try to figure out more of our family history. And that's part of the reason I think that these have become so popular. We all have a desire to know who we are. We want to know our DNA, Maybe not the actual science part of it, but the part that tells us who we are. Where did we come from? What is our history? How do we belong? Who are we? These are questions that are at the core of our human existence. Today is Pentecost, the day that we sometimes talk about as being the church's birthday. But Pentecost is more than just the beginning of the church. Pentecost is our DNA story. If we were superheroes, we might think of Pentecost as our origin story. All good superheroes have an origin story that explains how they got their superpowers, how they became Superman or Spider-Man or Wonder Woman or whoever. Normally, I'm not too big of a superhero fan, but I've recently started watching the TV show Arrow on Netflix because, you know, quarantine, what else is there to do? And in season 2, still part of the show is watching how Oliver Queen became Arrow while stranded on an island. And oftentimes those flashbacks are still the most interesting part of the show. And that's because we're interested in this question of origin and the question of how things came to be. Pentecost is our origin story because it's on Pentecost that our church gets its power. Pentecost tells us where we came from. Pentecost teaches us how we belong. Pentecost shows us who we are. Pentecost takes place 50 days after Easter. The disciples still aren't quite sure what life is supposed to look like post-Jesus. And so instead of being out spreading the good news of Jesus to all the people who are in Jerusalem for the Pentecost festivities, the disciples are all still gathered together in one place. Now, while they're gathered together, suddenly there's a sound like a rushing wind, and it fills the house. Now, that enough would be alone to startle you. But then we're told that divided tongues of fire appear on each of them. And then on top of the wind and the tongues of fire, they suddenly realize they can speak another language. A language that they didn't speak an ounce of before this very moment. That's what's going on. And remember, this is our origin story. This is our DNA. This is who we are as a church. So with their newfound ability to speak in various languages, the disciples go out among the crowd, and they begin sharing the good news of Jesus in all these languages to the people in Jerusalem so they can all hear the message of the gospel. But this is all a little too much for the crowd, and so they begin to wonder if the people are just drunk. And that's when Peter gets up, assures the crowd they're not drunk, and shares with them the words from the prophet Joel that tell them basically that this is all part of God's plan and promise, that the Holy Spirit has come, and with the arrival of the Holy Spirit, there will be dreams and visions and prophecy. For the power of God is with the people through the Holy Spirit. That is what's going on. And remember, this is our origin story. This is our DNA. This is who we are. Now look, I know that this is a crazy origin story. And I know that what's happening here in Pentecost might be as much like what we're seeing in the world today as I am Australian. But Pentecost really does show us who we are. Pentecost isn't just a one-time event. Pentecost is the picture and the promise God has given the church. So we have to ask ourselves, what does this Pentecost story tell us about who we are? Well, most importantly, Pentecost demonstrates that we are only who we are because we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Our origin has nothing to do with what we can accomplish. Our origin is that we have received the Holy Spirit. So who are we? We are people who are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And when we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, the possibilities of who and what we can be are endless. There's a new song out by Elevation Worship, a group that writes a lot of our modern worship music that we sing today. The song is called Rattle, and the lyrics speak to this idea of our origin as the church being people who are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what was previously thought to be impossible. Some of the words to this song are, Saturday was silent, surely it was through, but since when has impossible ever stopped you? Friday's disappointment is Sunday's empty tomb. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? It goes on to reference our origin story of Pentecost, saying, Pentecostal fire stirring something new. You're not going to run out of miracles anytime soon. Resurrection power runs in my veins too. I believe there's another miracle here in this room. This song has been on my mind a lot lately, especially the line, since when has impossible ever stopped you? If our Pentecost origin story has a tagline, that's it. The Holy Spirit cannot be stopped. The work of the Holy Spirit is always active, allowing for us to overcome that which we previously believed to be impossible. Just think about it. Since when has impossible ever stopped the Holy Spirit? Since when has fear ever stopped the Holy Spirit? The disciples gathered in a closed room on that first Pentecost, afraid of going out for fear of being arrested or ridiculed, afraid to share the good news of Jesus. That didn't stop the Holy Spirit from working. The Holy Spirit showed up and strengthened the disciples with all that they needed to act. And today, fear still isn't stopping the Holy Spirit. A fear of those who aren't like us, a fear of losing what we might have, fear and anxiety during these times. When we find ourselves afraid or worried or anxious, the Holy Spirit shows up. The Holy Spirit strengthens us so that we might continue to act, to spread the gospel, to love and care for others. Since when has impossible ever stopped the Holy Spirit? Since when has division ever stopped the Holy Spirit? On Pentecost, the people were divided by language and by belief, and yet the Holy Spirit was not stopped. The Holy Spirit provided the gift of language so that people might hear about Christ and understand and be brought together. There was justice for everyone. There was hope for everyone. There was love and welcome for everyone. And today, division is still not stopping the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that there isn't division. It just means that our division can't stop the Holy Spirit. So our political divides and our personal divides and all of our I'm right and you're wrong divides can't stop the Holy Spirit. Now, we might miss out on the Holy Spirit because we're too concerned with our divisions and our fightings and our being right, but that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit isn't working. The Holy Spirit wants to guide us to overcome our division, to work for justice, to live united, to welcome all, to make a focus on Christ and living out the gospel, to make that the most important part of our lives. Since when has impossible ever stopped the Holy Spirit? Since when has the unknown ever stopped the Holy Spirit? Nobody knew what the church was going to look like on that first Pentecost. The disciples didn't know where following Jesus post-resurrection was going to lead them. They didn't have a building to gather in or any sort of place to call church. They didn't know what kind of community they were going to be. And yet, the Holy Spirit worked and provided, and people had their lives changed. And today, the unknown is still not stopping the Holy Spirit. We might not know what the future holds. We might not be able to meet together in a building or know what our community is going to look like in the upcoming months. But none of that is stopping the Holy Spirit. The good news of Christ is still to be shared. People are still being cared for. Lives are still being transformed. Since when has impossible ever stopped the Holy Spirit? Never. That's our origin story as the church. From Pentecost to today, the church has been empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at work, allowing us to overcome fear, to reach across division, and to take the next step, faithful step into the future. Right now, we are living out our origin story. We are living in a Pentecost moment. So if this is who we are, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do when you believe that nothing is impossible with the Holy Spirit? What will you do empowered by the Holy Spirit? How will you overcome fear and reach across division and take the next faithful step into the future? At Pentecost, we learned who we were as the church. And today, we're called to live that out. Pentecost is our origin story. Right now is our moment to live empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Holy and gracious God, we are thankful for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We are thankful that from Pentecost until today and all through the future, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, and that nothing is impossible when the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives and in our world. So God, help us as those empowered by the Holy Spirit to overcome fear, to reach across division, and to take the next faithful step into the future. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.